Go ahead and take out your notes and open your Bibles up to the book of Galatians. Before we get into our sermon today, I want to point out a couple things to you. Fred prayed for us, for our church, and for the for Long Island and the gospel happening or going forward here on Long Island. But I just want to encourage you about what the Lord is doing based on three announcements that you saw today in the beginning opening of our service. The Lord is doing an incredible work on Long Island by bringing together like-minded churches for the sake of the gospel. And one of those large evidences of those today is actually seated right in the front with us today. Today is the first day of our new associate pastor, Jonathan Rodriguez. This came about as our church was looking for a new pastor, looking for a new associate pastor, and I had mentioned it to our pastor friends here in the area, and they recommended, at Levittown Baptist, their elders recommended Jonathan come and work with us to help us see the gospel go forward. I don't know how long many of you have been part of church or been in a church, but typically churches see other churches as the enemy, not as partners in the gospel. They would never imagine sending a pastor from their church to another church to help them grow. And in fact, this is happening on several levels because of the partnerships that's happening between our churches. The two marriage announcements that you heard this morning are the result of our churches partnering together for the sake of the gospel. And when you do that and you have a godly man and a godly woman from another church and then they meet and they fall in love, they get married. And so not only is Levittown Baptist sending us Jonathan, he's also sending back to us Mary, who we're glad to have with us. But then Nathan Cheddar met a lady from Levittown Baptist, and they're getting married in the same week. Now, can you imagine another church sending a pastor and two members of their church to us for the sake of the gospel? Now, if you don't think God's doing things on Long Island in church partnerships, let their marriages and Jonathan being with us and Annabelle being with us be visible evidence to you that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and working on Long Island in the churches on Long Island. Amen? Amen. Now, one of my favorite things to do at the beginning of the year is to think about the last year in review. Many different services, social media, Spotify, they'll actually help you think about your year in review. Any other Spotify users in the house today? Did you do your year in review to see the music that you listened to? Were you surprised by any of the songs that you listened to? Some of us might have been, some of us might have not been. You know me, I normally do not promote social media. I think it's a scourge on our society, but at the end of the year, most social media services will offer you a year in review. Even Google, their photo service, will offer you, Google Photo will offer you a year in review of your pictures. Now, if you know our family, I take like 3 pictures a year. But there are some women in my family that have maxed out the capacities of their phones taking pictures throughout the year. So much so that we've had to use Google Photos as a backup service so their phones will continue to work after they remove all the photos and put them in the cloud. But at the end of the year, going back and reviewing those photos is actually one of my favorite things, especially since my wife and I have 4 children. It's amazing to think back over the year and review the year of how much our children have grown, the experiences that we've got to have together, hopefully how much I have not grown in certain ways over the year. It's often that we would look at these photos and be reminded of things that the Lord allowed us to do where we would go, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Wasn't that so much fun that we got to do that? Well, I thought in thinking about these year-end reviews that it would be very important, since we started our study in Galatians last year and we made it through the first three chapters of Galatians, that we would spend a little bit of time today going back and reviewing what we already learned in the first three chapters of Galatians before we moved on to chapter 4. So at this time, I want to ask you to think about what you remember from our study in the book of Galatians, or maybe what you already know from your studies in the book of Galatians. And if you are familiar with the book of Galatians, maybe you're like me and you would see that there was a resounding theme that we saw in the first three chapters. The thing that we can never forget, as long as the Lord gives us breath, there is one thing that we can never forget. There must be one thing that as Christians that is always on our hearts and minds, and one thing that is always on our lips, that no matter what has happened in the past or what will happen in the future, there is one thing that must shape our lives and one thing that must be important to our lives. And it's this: the gospel is Jesus Christ alone. With this in your hearts and minds, I want to ask you to stand one more time for a reading from the Word of God. I want to read to you again Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It says this: grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. This is a reading from the Word of God. If you know my normal preaching pattern and you've looked at the notes today and recognized that there are 7 points, you might have started to be a little bit concerned about how long we're going to be here today. But I assure you, I plan to move through these points fairly quickly and emphasize some significant things in the first three chapters of Galatians to set the foundation for us moving forward into chapter 4. But as I've said already, and as I'm going to reiterate all the way through this sermon, the most important thing for you to walk away with from this sermon today and from the book of Galatians is the fact that the gospel is Jesus Christ alone. In today's day and age, there are many voices that would like to convince us that there are many ways to God. And one of the most popular voices today would have us believe, in fact, that there is no God. But the letter to the Galatians seeks to expose those who would preach a false religion, a false gospel, and Paul and the world around him assumes that there is a God. So we need to start with that right away. The world in which Paul writes to, the world in which Galatians is penned, automatically assumes across all cultures that there is at least a God. And it would seem ridiculous to them to even consider that there isn't a God. But the danger to the church today isn't a false religious system that would deny the gospel or even the secular idea that there is no God. The biggest danger to the Galatians and the biggest danger to the church today is any teaching that would deny the gospel, or that wouldn't deny the gospel of Jesus Christ, but would seek to add things to it. In the church at Galatia, there are those that wanted to add something to the gospel. They wanted to say that anyone who wanted to follow God needed Jesus Christ and the work of circumcision in addition to believing in Jesus Christ. But let me just say it again, because the scriptures are so clear on this issue. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that gives salvation, doesn't need anything else. It doesn't need anything added to it. And this idea that something needs added to the gospel is not just an ancient issue, but it's one that continues on today. Some churches would say that you need baptism to be saved. Some would say that you need to take communion to be saved. Some would say that there is some other type of work that you need to be saved. But Paul in Galatians and in the scriptures, it is clear our works don't save us. Because we could never do enough to earn our salvation. Paul has made this abundantly clear right away in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. That it was Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Not a work that you did, not a work that I did, not a work that anyone else did, except Jesus Christ who gave himself up for us. The gospel is Jesus Christ alone, because every one of us was born guilty of sin. And in our lives, we committed sin throughout our whole lives. And because of all of the sin that we were born into and all the sin that we've committed, we could never do anything to free ourselves from our sin. To be free from our sin, someone had to act on our behalf to save us from our sin. And that person was Jesus Christ. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated the fact that he came down to earth to be born as a baby. He lived a perfect, sinless life so that as he died on the cross, he became the perfect sacrifice, the perfect payment for our sins. We were stuck in our sins and in this present evil age, but Christ, with his death, burial, and resurrection, saved us from our sin, and according to this text, has saved us from the present evil age. But this text tells us something else amazing that we need to understand about God. That Jesus Christ was sent on our behalf to die for our sins. According to this text, that was done according to the will of the Father. You see, oftentimes we think about Jesus' love for us because he's the one who died on the cross, but this text reminds us that God the Father loved us so much that the plan to have Jesus die for our sins was born out of the heart of the God the Father who loved us so much he gave his Son to die for our sins. Jesus did this according to the will, according to the plan of God the Father, and he did it willingly out of love for us. But this text tells us that he did it for another reason as well, and something that I would say is actually even more important. In this incredible act of love, Jesus Christ glorified God the Father. This act of the gospel will cause God the Father not to just be glorified right now, but according to this text, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ will cause God the Father to be glorified forever and ever. This act of love doesn't have effects just right now, but it has effects for all eternity. For those who express faith in Jesus Christ, their salvation is secure forever and will cause God the Father to be glorified forever. We learned last week from Revelation chapter 21 about the new heaven and the new earth, where we will worship the Lord together forever and ever because of the plan that God the Father had to send his Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, to make it possible for us to believe in Jesus Christ and to glorify God the Father forever and ever. The gospel is Jesus Christ alone. But one of the most shocking things in the letter to the Galatians, in the book of Galatians, is that even though they knew the gospel is Jesus Christ alone, what we see in Paul writing this letter is that turning to a different gospel is easier than we might realize. Hopefully you've kept your finger in the place in your Bibles in Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse 6 with me. Paul writes to the Galatians in chapter 1, verse 6, and he says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Jesus Christ, and you are turning to a different gospel." Like I said, this is one of the most shocking truths of the letter to the Galatians, and in fact, to the entire Christian life, is that the passion and love that we had for Jesus Christ in the beginning of our salvation can quickly be deserted for another gospel. Brothers and sisters, one of the main calls of the book of Galatians is for us to keep a watch on our own hearts and minds by watching our doctrine. You see, because this false gospel can creep in and deceive you away from the gospel that is Jesus Christ alone. We cannot forget that the church of Galatia was taught the gospel by none other than the Apostle Paul himself. They had all the right teachers, they knew the truth of the gospel, and yet a false gospel crept in and led them astray. Brothers and sisters, this book of the Bible comes with a stern warning to every Christian that right now, in all likelihood, there is a false gospel that is knocking at the door. There is a false gospel knocking at the door to lead us away from the gospel that is Jesus Christ alone. And let me just say to you, this text is not calling us to just keep watch over our own hearts and minds, but it's collectively calling us together to keep watch over each other. Paul is writing this letter to the Galatians out of love for them to encourage them to turn back from the false gospel to the true gospel. You see, the life of the Christian finds its greatest joy in the gospel that is Jesus Christ alone. And in a very real sense, it finds its joy in helping make disciples, in keeping watch over each other. The Christian life is one lived in community in such a way that if anyone who is part of this church would start to wander away, the Lord has given us the task of what Paul is doing here. He is calling out to those who have started to wander away from the truth into lies. Brothers and sisters, in this new year, let us make it our aim to love Jesus Christ so much that we would put ourselves in harm's way to stop and call back one who has started to wander away. Because the truth is, it takes courage in the gospel, it takes courage in the Lord to call out to another person that you love, and say, "Brother, sister, I love Jesus Christ and I love you. Do not follow this false gospel." In just a few weeks in our study of Galatians, we're going to come to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 is the same admonishment that I'm giving to you now. It says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." So today, out of love for Jesus Christ, and for love for you, I'm calling out to you today, do not accept any gospel but Jesus Christ. And if you are in this church and you started to navigate away to a false gospel, understand that we don't just talk about the Word of God, but we actually practice it. And so if you started to wander away into a false gospel or any transgression, know that your elders and your church stand ready to restore you in a spirit of gentleness. Turn from the false gospel back to the gospel that is Jesus Christ alone. But we must understand, the following a false gospel is not something that you go to sleep tonight believing the gospel and wake up tomorrow and no longer believe. What we see over time is that falling into a false gospel is actually a slow fade. A gospel that has been presented with a specific purpose and has severe consequences. You see, the gospel in that is Jesus Christ alone, and even when we're tempted to turn into a false gospel, we must understand the consequences of doing this. Because if we believe a false gospel, the false gospel is a gospel that the world wants to use to take away our freedom. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery." Paul is using such strong language here to push us to see the severe consequences of believing a false gospel. He reminds us of who we are and what Christ has done for us. And let's just reiterate again a little bit who we were. Before Jesus Christ, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And this text reminds us, along with many other texts, that in fact, we were slaves to our sin. Slaves. Slaves to our sinful desire. Slaves that were headed to hell. But Jesus Christ loves us so much that he came down from heaven and dies to set slaves free. He gives us life so that slaves like you and me, slaves to our sin, could be free from the slavery of sin and free to live lives to the glory of God. Free from the slavery of this world. But brothers and sisters, Satan and the world hates our freedom. They hate our freedom because we are no longer slaves who can be controlled by him and our sin. He hates the fact that those who believe in the gospel that is Jesus Christ alone cannot be controlled by the things of this world. They cannot be controlled by things that matter to Satan. Because we no longer have the same cares as slaves, because we are free. We're free from fear. We're free from sin. We're free from the concerns of this life, because the greatest fear that our sin demands a punishment, that fear died on the cross with Jesus Christ. Along with our sin and the concerns of this world, slaves were set free at the cross of Jesus Christ. And right now, The world is filled with fear about what's going to happen in 2026. But not us, brothers and sisters. Not us, because we're free from the fear that would bind us. We're free from all that would hinder the world. But brothers and sisters, we will give up the freedom in Christ if we accept a gospel that adds anything to Jesus Christ. And this is what the devil wants. Because if we've given up our freedom, we give up the mission that God has given us. The mission of sharing the gospel that sets slaves free. What an insult, brothers and sisters. What an insult to Jesus Christ. What a trampling of the gospel when we add anything to the gospel. When we let the fears of the world make us slaves again. Jesus died, brothers and sisters, so that we can live every moment of our lives free. Think about it in this way. If you saw someone who was a slave, someone who had been taken captive by another person and sold like property, and if you went and paid the price for their freedom, you set them free, and instead of living as a free person, they went back to their captors and lived as a slave, at least you would be shocked. And maybe even a little angry. But brothers and sisters, when we add anything to the gospel, we live as slaves to things of this world, and we make ourselves slaves again to something that Christ paid the price with his death, burial, and resurrection to set us free from. Christ has freed us. And the only one who can make us slaves again is us. No one has the power to make us slaves again except us. You cannot be made a slave again unless you do it to yourself. Earlier, I admonished you to keep watch over your own heart and the hearts of those in this church. And Paul points out one thing that will lead us astray and those around us faster than anything else. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a gateway to the false gospel. The number one thing that we must keep our eyes wide open for is hypocrisy. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 13. Galatians chapter 2, verse 13 says this, "And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led away by their hypocrisy." To be clear, hypocrisy is saying that you believe in the gospel and that you believe the gospel is Jesus Christ alone. But when pressure comes from those around us, we cave and we give up our freedom and we act like slaves who follow the master of Satan and the world. It's acting differently than what you say you believe. Can I love you enough? Will you let me love you and tell you that right now, that almost every one of us in this room has one area of your life where you are living hypocritically? Know that I'm preaching to myself first, but that I believe it's necessary for me to admonish you in this way. You have an area in your life where God in his word is calling you to live different than the world around you. He's calling you to be bold for the gospel. And instead of following the word of God, You've acted as a hypocrite and caved to the pressure of the world. Parents, maybe it's in your home. We've been called to do whatever we can to teach our children the Word of God so that they know that the gospel is Jesus Christ alone. And instead, day after day, we've made excuses that we're tired, we're too busy, we don't know the Bible enough to teach our children. Can I just say to you, if this is you, your children see you're a hypocrite. You're living as a slave to the world, not as a free person that Jesus has saved you. Maybe it's in your neighborhood or in your workplace. The places that God has intentionally put you to point people to the freedom they can have in Jesus Christ, and instead, you've never shared the gospel. Or maybe you have shared the gospel, but you're tempted to stop. Brothers and sisters, let today be the day that you begin pursuing being a beacon of hope and living out sharing the gospel that Jesus Christ is the gospel alone. But let me speak to one final group. Maybe you're here today and you've claimed that you believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the gospel alone, but you're living as a hypocrite because you're dabbling in sin. You think that you can play with sin and not get burned. But because of your hypocrisy, the mission that Jesus has you on is left undone. And worse than that, we don't live according to the Word of God. When we don't, He is not glorified as He should be in your life. One of the things that Paul points out in the book of Galatians is that the worst type of hypocrisy is to believe that you've done everything right, or that you're a good enough person that you don't have to glorify God with your life. That you and God are good. But to believe in the gospel as Jesus Christ alone is to recognize that without Jesus Christ, we are still dead in our trespasses and sins. The gospel is Jesus Christ alone, so that our good works or the keeping of the law can't justify us. This is actually the core of the false gospel. That if you just do enough good things, that if you just keep all the rules that a religious system sets forward, then you are saved. You might be here today and you come out of a religious system that demanded that you keep some set of rules, and you and God will be good. But one of the clearest things that we see in the book of Galatians is that the law can't justify us. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 says, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified." Can I say to you, friend, if you're here today and you have not believed in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, and you're trying to do good works or keep some rules in order to earn your salvation, you are still dead in your sins and bound for hell. So today, let me love you enough to tell you that if you keep on the path that you're on, you will not end up in heaven. But when you die, you will end up in hell. So let today be the day that you are justified by faith in Christ. The Bible is clear that the first step to admit is to admit that you are a sinner who deserves hell and turn from thinking that you can earn your salvation and turn to Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says that if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the only way, you will be saved. This means that if today you are under conviction, you feel something happening in your heart and mind, you are convicted about your sin, what this means is that Jesus Christ is calling out to you to turn from the false gospel, turn from your sin, and receive justification in Jesus Christ alone. If this is you, if you are under conviction, do not leave this place today without talking with me or one of our elders or the person who invited you here today, and they will pray with you so that you can receive salvation. But brothers and sisters, for those of us who have received the gospel that is Christ alone, there are some implications for us even today according to the book of Galatians. One of the biggest things that's unpacked in the book of Galatians in regards to the gospel is that those who believe in the gospel that is Jesus Christ alone, he grants us adoption as sons of Abraham. So inside of our salvation, if we confess and repent and turn to Jesus, if you do this, you get a new family. This is what Galatians chapter 3, verse 7 says. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And this might not seem like it's much at first, but we've got to understand what God promised Abraham and his family. For the sake of time, I'll read it to you. You can write it in your notes, but you don't need to turn there. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 is often referred to as the beginning of a covenant, a promise that God made with Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." That's the portion we need to focus on. Because at first this seems like it's just a promise of blessing from God to Abraham and his biological children, a promise of having a large family and that he and his family would have the promised land to dwell in. But as the scriptures unfold, we find that the promise is greater, has greater worth and greater reach than just Abraham and his physical children. This promise, because of Jesus Christ, the one who will bless all nations, doesn't just include Abraham and his family, but includes all those who would believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't just include a place here on earth, but is a promise of a land that will be eternal. And that place is heaven. Heaven, where the family of God will live in perfect sinlessness and worship God the Father forever and ever. For those who have believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, they've been adopted into a spiritual family that's been promised a heavenly home in the new heaven and the new earth forever and ever. But as we prepare to enter into Galatians chapter 4, there is one last point that I want to emphasize to you, one last thing that I want you to consider. The gospel is Jesus Christ alone, even though we were cursed by our sins. Paul reminds us again of our hopeless state. He says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Paul says that we were under the curse of our sin. And instead of leaving us in our curse, leaving us in our sin, Jesus Christ came down from heaven and died the worst death possible. He died the death on a cross. And this was a sign. The cross was a sign. The tree was a sign of the curse of sin. But for us, brothers and sisters, the cross, which was once a sign of a curse, the sign of punishment for sins, has now become a sign of hope for you and me. Because Jesus Christ's death on the cross freed us from the curse that our sin brought on us and freed us to live new lives for Him. In 2026, we must never let the weight of what Christ suffered for us be lost. We cannot let the power of the gospel become less significant in our lives. Because if we lose sight of the cross and the curse of our sin, then we might be tempted to navigate into minimizing the adoption that we've received into the family of God. We will try to justify ourselves by the law. We will live hypocritical lives. We will live as slaves, and we will let our freedom be taken away as we turn to a different gospel. But brothers and sisters, let us together this year purpose to live out Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Would you open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, if you don't have it open? Would you open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and read aloud with me this passage? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, will you read it with me? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Brothers and sisters, let this be the driving force of each of our lives and the mantra that our church lives by today, tomorrow, the rest of the year, and as long as God gives us breath. Will you pray with me and ask the Lord to help us do this? Lord, help us today to continue to hold on to the truth that the gospel is Jesus Christ alone. Even though the world and Satan would press into us, even though there may be false brothers who creep in to try to spy out our freedom, help us to reject any doctrine that would add to the gospel that is Jesus Christ alone. And Lord, help us in this new year to live out Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. That we would see how glorious the plan of God the Father is and how beautiful the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is. That we would want our entire lives to not be lived for ourselves, but for the glory of God the Father through the person and work of Jesus Christ. That in this next year, as the community and people around us would think about us and our church, that what they would see in us is Christ. That we would live in such a way that Christ would be glorified, that He would be magnified in our lives. Lord, I ask if there's anyone who is dabbling in a false gospel today or are living in sin, that You would bring conviction upon them. And that they would turn from their sin and they would turn from the false gospel and they would turn to You. Lord, if there's anyone who doesn't know the life-changing, freeing gospel of Jesus Christ that is here today, that today would be the day of salvation. That you would bring to bear the weight of their sin, and at the same time, they would see the love of Jesus Christ for them. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts, that as we begin this new year, that the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of Jesus Christ, the wonder of his saving grace would be made alive in our hearts, and that we would leave this time together today renewed and refreshed in the gospel that is Jesus Christ alone. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.